Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Man, I feel the presence of the Lord here today. What a great time of worship we've had. He's met us here. I know that the Lord is in the house today, and I feel like He's given me a word for somebody here today, and I feel compelled to share that with you as you're returning to your seats. Thank you again to all those who helped last night, the Hesslers heading that up. What a great time of fellowship of the body of Christ, and thankful for that and all the work that went into it. Thankful to be back home. Many of you know I had to be in Germany last week for work. I'm thankful for God's hand of protection, and I'm glad to be back with you all. Nothing like home. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, media team, if you can try to follow, I've added a couple of verses. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37 and 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Skipping ahead to Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 1. I know I'm skipping around today, but 1 Samuel 19 and 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. Had a few verses. 1 Samuel 19 verse 10. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with his javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain or killed." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled, and he escaped. I want to speak to you for a few moments about this. The middle of your story. The middle of your story. Would you just lift your hands one more time and let's ask God to just have His perfect way over the next few moments. Would you help me, Lord? Lord, I know that You've given me a word today, Lord, and I'm not stepping away from what we feel right now. I'm working in conjunction with Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would help me to convey Your word to Your people today. Lord, I pray that You would bring my thoughts under the guidance of Your Spirit, my words under the guidance of Your Spirit. I trust You today to do that, to speak to Your people. Lord, we trust You to move in this house and let Your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. The middle of your story. I've mentioned before that I, as a teenager, young adult, I enjoyed reading Louis L'Amour. Just a genre that I enjoyed. I enjoyed the writing. I enjoyed all the books that he's written. I don't know that I found one that I haven't read. If you've got one, tell me. I'd love to read it. But in the middle of those stories, you read long enough in his books, you know what's coming. You know that it doesn't matter if it's William Sackett or Tyrell Sackett or Orrin Sackett. It doesn't matter what the plot is. It doesn't matter who the antagonist is. It doesn't matter. Because you know by reading this long enough that at the end of the story, they're going to be the hero, that it's going to work out, that all the things are going to fall into place. But in the middle, it doesn't matter. He was such a good author that even though you knew probably what it was going to be, you still felt like in the middle, like there was some possibility of doubt. Like you weren't sure exactly how this was going. How could he even write this into a good ending? This is a difficult situation. Another, maybe on a lighter note, the Hallmark movies. We know those are all the same. It's a joke in my house when my daughters or my wife are watching one, I'll walk by and ask them, "Do you want me to tell you how it ends?" We know how it ends. We know it's going to be the small town girl with the small business that's going to win the love of the guy who from the big city. It's just going to work out. That's just how it. But in the middle of it, it just doesn't look like it. It's disguised. Even though you know at the end it's going to work out, it's even hard in those moments to see. When you're in the middle, listen, I'm talking to somebody who is facing the middle portion of your story today. And you've been around this long enough to know that God's got this, but it's hard right now to see how. You can't open your eyes this morning when you got out of bed and pinpoint how everything's going to, you just don't know. You just look at what's in front of you and you question, Lord, I know you said you have it in control. God, I know that you see the end from the beginning, but right now all I see is what's in front of me, and it's discouraging and it's exhausting, and it's just the middle of my story is difficult today. That's who I'm talking to today. I woke up this morning with a heavy spirit upon my heart to bring an encouragement to somebody who's facing the middle of your story and not knowing what tomorrow looks like, not knowing when the answer will come. I've come to encourage somebody here today. You're not the only person to have felt that way in the middle of your story. You're not. We talked to two different people in my text today. The first is Joseph, and I won't belabor the point today very long. Joseph was a dreamer, and God was using him, and God had a plan, a purpose for Joseph's life. It was laid out, and he was beginning to just little by little expose Joseph to what that dream looked like. And he would give him pieces, and he would share those pieces, and he would be despised of his brothers and even his father for that. He would be sold into slavery because of his dream, because of his purpose. And he would end up in Egypt, and then he would be promoted to the top of Potiphar's house, and then he would be wrongfully accused, and he would be put into prison. He was in the middle of the story. He did not know within a few short chapters that Pharaoh would call him out of that prison, and he would be second in command, a Hebrew, second in command of the entire nation of Egypt at that time, the strongest nation in the world. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. We read those scriptures in Genesis and we know we can just, it's all right, Joseph, just hang on. It's coming. I know you're in a pit and now I know you're in prison, but don't worry about it, Joseph. I know they forgot about you. I know it looks like people lied about you, but it's okay, Joseph. Your day is coming. We could encourage him with that today because we know the end of the story. David's life, David was anointed king at a young age. We don't know for sure how old he was, somewhere probably between 16 and 19, because at 20 he would have already been in the army, and he wasn't, because that's when he went to go see to fight Goliath. So he was anointed king at a young age. He got called into the palace to play a harp for Saul, and all of this was transpiring after his anointing, and then Saul would get upset and would have an issue with him, and he would kick him out, and he'd go back to watching sheep. And then one day his dad sends him to the front lines of the army to take some meal and food to his brothers. And they wrongfully accuse him. I'm just here to bring you guys some food from dad. No, we know that heart of yours. We know that you're just trying to sneak up here to see what's going on. And David's like, guys, I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. No, that's not what you're doing, David. He was wrongfully accused. And then he decides, listen, I hear what Goliath's saying, and nobody is going to stand up to this guy as he defies the Lord. So he steps into that role. We know the story. He kills Goliath as just a young man. But listen, in the middle of this story, it sounds awesome at the point that Goliath falls. It sounds amazing, and they're singing his praises. A song was written on his behalf. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. And he was a popular young man, but Saul was angry at David because of this and jealous at David because of this, and he decides he's going to kill David. David did nothing wrong. David was innocent. David was just following after the path that God had put in front of him. But Saul was jealous and it pushed him away. And so now David is on the run. That length of time between when you know what's going on until you assume control again, when God shows you the end result, that length of time is the middle of the story. With Joseph, Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, and it wasn't until he was 30 years old that he could look back and see, okay, I know what God was doing. 13 years of being in the middle. 13 years of not knowing what really was going on. 13 years of just having to trust that God understood where he was at. 13 years of being lied upon and having people think differently of you in the middle of his story. The same thing happens with David. It was between 10 and 15 years for the time that he was anointed king by the prophet Samuel until he was assuming the throne. That's a long time to be in the middle. That's a long time to be running. That's a long time to be frustrated. That's a wrong time. Listen, I'm trying to convey to you this morning, those of you that find yourself in this situation where you don't know what tomorrow looks like and you don't see the answer to the problem and you don't understand the situation that you're in the middle of your story. I've come to encourage somebody today with a very simple thought and directive. Don't quit in the middle of your story. Don't stop when you can't see tomorrow. Don't give up when you don't understand the situation. Don't stop. I know you're exhausted and I know you're discouraged and I know there's even frustration and you can't see the purpose and you can't see the promise, but I'm encouraging you today to hold on because there's an end of the story. There's an end result. Pharaoh is going to put you in charge. You're going to save Egypt. You're going to save the known world, Joseph. David, you're going to write all kinds of encouraging psalms and you're be the king, the man after God's own heart. But if you stop in the middle of your story, if you're defeated by discouragement and you're overcome by frustration, you'll never see what God has for your life. I'm just come to encourage somebody today. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. Well, you don't understand, Pastor, because I'm in this situation, people are questioning my integrity. It doesn't matter. You don't think they questioned Joseph's impropriety when the wife of Potiphar lied about him? You don't think they questioned David's veracity as a king when he's hiding in caves and mountains and Saul's trying to kill him? People are going to question. It's not about what people think. It's about what God thinks. It's not about what people say your end result will be. It's about what God says the end result will be. It's not about what they say the end of the story will be. It's about what God says the end of the story will be. Don't quit in the middle of your story. Don't stop. Don't give up. Romans 8:28 tells us, "For we know all things work together for good." It's easy to quote that to somebody else in their trial than to believe it in yours. It's easy to say, well, it's going to be okay. Romans 8:28 tells you. But when you're in the middle of your story, that's a hard verse to apply to your life. But I'm asking you to do it today. All things work together. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Can I just remind you today that Isaiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil." And this is what I like, to give you an expected end. I know where you're going. If you can just hold on, I know where you're going. I know what tomorrow and next week and next month is, even if you don't. There's an expected end. There's an end destination that you're going, but you've got to stay on the road. You can't stop. Galatians 6:9 reminds us to let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Ephesians 6. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand." Stand. "And having done all to stand," Paul said, "stand." Pastor, you don't know how hard it is to get up in the morning. I know, I feel that burden right now. I feel what you're feeling. Okay. I feel what you're feeling. That's why God put it on my heart this morning. I feel what you're feeling. Pastor, you don't know what it is to that alarm to go off and to try to get out of bed not knowing what tomorrow is. I do know. Stand. I try to do everything I know to do and it's not working out and nothing's falling into place. I've just come to tell you, stand. Don't give up. Don't quit right now. There's an end of the story, and then you're in the middle right now, and it doesn't make sense. Stand. It's burdensome. It's heavy. And you have questions in your mind. I'm just telling you what God has told me to say. Stand today. Don't let it pull you back down. Don't let the enemy distract you away from the plan that God has for your life because of what you're dealing with right now. He has not forgotten. Do you think he forgot about Joseph when he's in the pit? Do you think that God gave him the dream and then just put him by the wayside when his brothers decided to kill him? Do you think God said, well, it didn't work out, I'll find somebody else when Potiphar put him in prison? Or how about when he was in prison and he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and they said, I'll remember you, and then they didn't? You think God said, well, I guess it doesn't work out? No, no, no. God has a plan, even in the middle of the story. Louis L'Amour is not going to let Orrin Sackett be killed in the gunfight. But in the middle of that gunfight, it looks pretty scary. God's not going to let you fall in the middle of what's going on. But when you're in the middle of what's going on, it's pretty scary. You don't see the end, and you don't see what the next step is. And so there's a discouragement factor. There's a frustration factor. Stand. When you've done all you can do, that tells me you've exhausted all measure. Stand. He didn't say you've got to blow through the wall. He didn't say you've got to figure it out. He said just stand. Kind of like when Moses was worried about what was going to happen at the Red Sea, and God said, tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There are times when you can't figure out what to do, even if you wanted to. You don't have the ability to see what tomorrow's holding tomorrow, even if you want to. So that's why it's time to stand. That means don't sit down. That doesn't mean walk away. That means stand firm in what God has already given you. Stand firm in the promise that he already spoke to you previously. Stand firm in the promise and the purpose that he whispered into your ear 2 years and 20 years ago. Stand, stand, stand. Don't give up, just stand. Trust God in the middle of your story today. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author, which means somebody picked up a pen and began to write the book, he did that. He's also the finisher or the concluder of your faith. He's the one who began to whisper things into your life at a young age, and he's the one who will finish what he started. I'm persuaded that he that hath begun a good work in you is able to perform it, Philippians tells us. He's the author. He's the finisher. And I'm talking to some people right now who in the middle of your story has reached into the author's hand and you've picked up the pen. I know what's said. I know that you should have this figured out. I know that you know the end from the beginning. But God, in the middle of what's going on right now, I don't trust you. Nobody in this room right now would probably raise a hand and say, yeah, that's me. But I know you're in here today. In the middle of your story, in the middle of confusion and doubt and hurt, you've reached into the author's hand. You pulled out the pen and said, I need to hold on to that for a little bit. Now let me just caution you today. There's some safety, presumed safety in that, because nothing else is being written at the time you're holding the pen. The author can't complete what he's trying to complete if you've got the pen. So there's presumed safety that you don't have to see what tomorrow is because of what's going on. You have the pen. You can decide. And that's true. You can do that if you'd like to. But the flip side of that is if the author doesn't hold the pen, he can't finish the story. If the author isn't in control of what's going on, then you're going to be left in that middle of the story. You can't conclude it. You can't finish it. You can't see how it arises at the end of the confrontation and how the promise is procured. You'll never see it with the pen in your hand. Brother Randy and Sister Elaine, if you'll help me. I feel this so strong in my spirit today. Some of you feel justified in holding the pen now because it wasn't working out how you thought it would work out. So I'll just take the pen.
I'll take control. I'll make sure that nothing like this happens. I'll figure this out. I'll make sure that I figure out what's going on and I'll take care of it. I can't trust God right now. That's who I've come to talk to today. He that has begun a good work is able to perform that work in you. But until you put the pen back in his hand, he's not going to write it for you. He's not going to force your hand to the paper. Oh, I'm dealing with sickness right now, and I've been praying that God would heal me, and he hasn't healed me. So I'm just going to grab this pen, and I just can't trust God right now. I'm dealing with disappointment and hurt. I'm dealing with offense. I'm dealing with all this junk that's coming against my family and my finances. And I don't know what God's doing. I just don't trust him. So you picked up the pen and you feel like that's the answer. I'm here to encourage you. Would you put the pen back in the author's hand? Because in the middle of the story, it looks bleak. It looks hard. It looks scary. But he already knows what's going to happen. And he's not put anything in front of you that he can't finish. He's not put anything to your life that he can't bring you through. That he can't. He's not put a disease in your body he's not capable of healing you from. Psalms 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Somebody hear me today. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God's not hearing me. God's not answering my prayer. I'm here to tell you, he's not ignoring you. There's a purpose. He that doesn't let your foot be moved, he's the one that keeps you, and he's not going to slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm talking to somebody today who needs to put the pen back in the hand of the author. Because you're in the middle of the story and you don't know what's coming. You don't understand what you need and you don't understand what he's bringing to pass. So today, this is what I'm asking you to do. As they began to sing, they were singing this song earlier, fear, it's not my future. You are God. Death is not the end. You are God. If you really believe that today, I'd like for you to come up this morning and take that proverbial pen and say, God, I've withheld this for a little while because of my lack of belief. But in the middle of my story, I don't have the vision to be able to know what to do. And so I'm asking you, Lord, would you take this pen? And would you begin to write the story that you already begun? Would you begin to fix what's already been broken? Would you begin to bring to pass what you've already promised? Because God, I can't do it on my own. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know. But God, you do. So here's my pen, God. Lord, you're the author, but you're also my finisher. And so I trust you today. As they begin to sing, I'm just asking somebody to have faith enough in your mind and in your spirit to say, here's my pen, God. This isn't mine, it's yours. God, this is not mine. I can't do it without you. Would you take this pen? I need you to write some things in my life. I need you to figure some things out in my life. Come on, somebody. Come on, God's speaking to you this morning. God's reaching for you this morning.
Psalms 121. I'm going to ask you to start and finish your day this entire week with this psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This needs to be at the front of our minds this week. When we wake up, Psalms 121. When I'm driving to work, Psalms 121. When I'm putting my head to the pillow and I still don't know the answer, Psalms 121. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord is my strength. The Lord will deliver me. The Lord will put my foot back on the right path. The Lord will do this. I won't do this because even if I've done all I can do to stand and I can't figure it out, I'm just going to stand and let the Lord do what He has already told me He would do. Put the pen back in His hand. Don't, when you leave here today, don't pick it back up. Don't take it with you. Say, God, it's all in Your hands. I don't have to know. Only thing I have to know is that it's in Your hands. And I trust You today. I trust You today. In the middle of my story, when I don't see the end, I trust You. I trust You. Let's pray together. Lord, God, You've been so good to us. Lord, You spoke to us today. You've spoken to some hearts today that needed to know that You're right here. If they'll just put it back in Your hands, God, You're going to perform it. God, You've not forgotten them. You know exactly where they are. Lord, and we trust You this morning to bring about that which You've already told us would happen, to lay the path in front of us, even if it's only one step at a time. We trust You today. You will keep us. You will guide us. You will restore. You will redeem. You will heal. I trust You today. Lord, bless You. Lord, we love You and we give You praise and we give You honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.